There is more going on than you know. There are unseen universal forces at work. The law of attraction is just one universal law that plays a part in shaping your reality. But there's so much more to know. If you knew how to engage all the universal forces, you could deliberately create the life of your dreams. Joshua, a group of non-physical teachers, explains the laws of the universe and how the mechanisms of physical reality actually work. They are channeled by Gary Temple Bodley, and each week, Gary and a group of students discuss how they are affecting and enhancing their lives every single day. This is the expansion of the law of attraction. This is the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. We're thrilled you're here.
Hello, everyone. This is episode 54 of the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. I'm your host, Gary Temple Bodley. Today is November 5th, 2016. Joshua received a lot of questions this week, and there was a recurring theme, control. Everyone seems to be trying to control everything. It seems we are all control freaks, according to Joshua. Control is one of the things you need to drop if you're going to change your approach to life. This is a reality where we receive everything we want as long as we allow it. We are learning to have faith in the universe and become allowers. Control is resistant, and when you're trying to control the conditions, you're not being allower. We're going to explore the topic of control on today's show. And on the roundtable, this week we have Steve Finizza. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Gary.
And Kyla Hinton. Hi, Kyla.
Good morning, Gary.
And Wendy Pierce. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Gary.
So if you hadn't noticed by now, I write this intro and then record it, and usually I can get it in one or two takes, but today Deborah Jo called in the middle of it, so I had to retake it, and then I screwed it up several times. So the last take was perfect. Don't you agree?
I think all of them were perfect.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
Even Deborah Jo was perfect.
Yeah.
I was trying to control the conditions of the show by making this perfect. I didn't want anyone to think we were not.
And I'm over here just flowing along.
Allowing.
Be allowers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Wendy, are you an allower or a control freak?
I am a striving allower.
That's very well put. Yep. You said that well. Yep. Good. I am a striving allower as well. Hmm. How about you, Kyla?
I am a, it feels like most of the time, allower these days, except for yesterday. I had some bumps yesterday. But
oh, good. We'll hear about the bumps. Steve, are you an allower or a control freak?
I am an allower most of the time, but the cool thing is I know when I'm being a control freak, but sometimes I just do it anyway because it feels good.
Now, are you always an allower?
No.
I used to be a super control freak.
Mm-hmm. Steve is my inspiration. If Steve can start allowing, then I know.
Wow, I like
that.
Right.
That's right. Yeah.
No pressure, right?
No, nope, not at all.
Well, when you try to control the conditions outside of you, you are just pretty much just changing the paint on the wall. But you're not doing anything to change the inside, so the same feelings are going to come up. And it's like this, you think you know what needs to happen in order to get what you want, but you can't possibly know because your perspective is limited and you don't have, you know, you're not in the vibrational range of the thing you want anyway, so you can't possibly know how it's going to come. And really the only thing you can do is be an allower. And all this attempt to control is a complete and utter waste of time. We got a question from Kate this week, and she started off like this. The word for me right now is control. I get stressed and angry while trying to control everything, but realizing I'm afraid of letting go. And then Joshua says, blah, 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 a lot of stuff, but
blah, 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 no.
Blah, blah, blah.
Infinite intelligence doesn't go blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. Yada, yada, yada.
Charlie Brown, wah, 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 wah.
Yeah. This is a universe that is designed to bring you everything you desire, and all you have to do is allow it. We've told you that your perspective is limited. By trying to control everything from a limited perspective, you are trying to drive the car while blindfolded. Isn't that interesting?
Mm.
It makes no sense. Get in the back seat and let the universe do the driving. All you have to do is let the driver know where you want to go. How do you tell the driver where you want to go? Do you point to places you do not like and say, let's spend time over there? Or do you focus on the places you like or the places you want to explore and say, I want to go there? Let the driver do the driving and you just focus on the navigation by pointing to where you want to go. So how does one give up control when one has been trying to control everything for so very long? We suggest experimentation. And in this case, it's perfect because she had just gotten back from a trip with her boyfriend and they had a great time. But they bicker because they're each trying to control the whole thing. So Joshua says, you have a perfect lab partner, don't you? Why not give up all your control to him? Let him take the wheel and you practice navigating by only focusing on what you want. You don't need to say where you want to go. All you have to do is feel it and think about it. If it seems like he's taking a detour, let him. Believe it or not, he knows the roads better than you. So even if you're in the backseat and letting the chauffeur drive the car, whether it's, in this case, Kate's boyfriend or the universe or whatever, and it seems like they're going the wrong way or going the long way, you have to just relax and let it go. And that, you know, that analogy is pretty good, I thought.
I liked it. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I had a similar question, and my answer, they told me to quit trying to grab the steering wheel.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So let's read Wendy's. Okay. You said you were having a bumpy week, and you don't feel like doing much of anything. You had gone horseback riding, and basically the essence of the whole answer was that, you know, you did this, accomplished this action of going horseback riding, and you were attached to an outcome, which was pretty much to solve every problem you ever had in your whole life.
Exactly.
No pressure. Exactly.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't it? You know?
Right. So you said, why is this so difficult? And then Joshua said, it doesn't have to be difficult. You're just trying to drive the car from the back seat while the chauffeur has a firm grip on the wheel. He's not letting go, and he's a bit bigger than you. Why not sit back and relax? Look out the window and watch the pretty scenery go by. Don't worry. If he takes a detour or goes a long way, you'll get there soon enough. You are attached to a specific outcome. However, you are on the road to self-discovery. And so all these little actions that you do are the purpose of discovering yourself and what you want to do and all these things. It's not that one step that's going to solve every problem. The step leads to another step and so on and so on. You know, and you get higher in your vibration from there. But it was really cool. And then Emma, who is new to the one-on-one and lives in Australia, she had the question of the week, which we'll go into as well. And they all sort of related. It was all on the same day too that these questions were done on Wednesday or Thursday.
You know, last night I was dropping off my wife at the airport. She's heading off to Australia. And my daughter was with me. And on the way back, I'm trying to navigate back to the freeway, right, to go home. And I missed the exit, right? And we were kind of I was like, what's that sign say? Which way is north? And I thought she said one thing and turned out that I misinterpreted it, right? So I'm taking, to me, quote, the wrong turn. And I get a little upset, right?
Right.
And it was so cool. My daughter's like, Dad, this was supposed to happen.
Right. That's right? Pretty cool.
I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah. The fact that she knows this and she's only 19, I'm like, I would give my – well, I won't tell you what I would give. But I would give something to be able to know that when I was 19.
I know. Right. Man, I was so trying to get things done and make things happen and thought I knew how to do it. And I was just, you know, I was just swimming or paddling uphill the whole way.
Mm-hmm. We wouldn't know how easy we have it now if we weren't such, you know, resistance.
That's right.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
I don't know. Maybe I didn't need, you know, 50 years of it. Maybe just. Yeah.
Clearly exactly. You did, Steve. Clearly you did.
I swear to God, I got enough of that. Yeah. In my childhood, I was probably, if I was, you know, your kids, though, had such an easy childhood compared to Steve and I. I don't know about Wendy and Kyla, but imagine growing up like them. I was listening to an interview with Dana Carvey, and he was talking about, you know, his childhood, and it was really traumatic, and his dad was really overbearing and beat them and stuff and with a belt. And, you know, and you could just see that launched him on this trajectory for his whole life, and which is obviously a very good thing. Yeah. But it's interesting that we chose the trajectory that we got, and that Steve's kids, from my perspective of an outsider looking in at them, chose this like fabulous, wonderful childhood.
Yeah, but it's interesting if you compare. Every time I go into social situations, the first thing that comes up is like, because now they're both out of high school, right? And everyone's always going, your kids, are they going to college? Do they have a job? It's like, it's like, I feel like I'm always dancing around, trying to, cause they went to community college, right? And they're kind of doing that, but I'm encouraging them to do what they're passionate about. And for my daughter, it's like art. And for my son, it's like, 3D modeling and sculpting and things, but it's not the traditional path, right? Yeah. So I think it's great hearing you say, it helps my persona when you say, oh, they have this great childhood, but I would guess 90% of the population would say, oh, his kids are just freeloading off their dad. They're not learning, life skills. And they're never going to amount to anything.
That's totally just a belief, because if I was at a barbecue and I asked somebody what their kids do, and they said, oh, they're following their passions, I'd be like, fuck yeah, they are. That's so cool that you like support that, I think that maybe people like us aren't as rare as we think that they are. I've been playing with my beliefs on that, and I've been encountering a lot of people in the middle of Kansas that have beliefs that are, I mean, not exactly like mine, but similar, or at least are open to exploring. Right. So.
Yeah.
Could that be the law of attraction in action?
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe Kansas is the epicenter of the, awareness.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Right.
I think that's
Dorothy was from there.
Yeah.
Who is?
Dorothy.
Dorothy. Yeah, that's true.
And she went and talked to the wizard.
Yeah.
That's true.
But I think, to me, I'm playing poker with a lot of people, different people, and a lot of the kids are in college, and it was this one guy who's a really good poker player, but has his really strong beliefs, political and otherwise, and he's in this family business, and he's, butting heads with his dad, and it's like, is that work your passion? And he says, no, this is my passion. And I said, well, why don't you just do this? And he says, because my family would never allow it, and would always look down on me for doing poker as a living. And, I said, well, the most important thing is what, and he's going to college too, and he doesn't like, obviously he doesn't like college, and what's college really going to teach him? He's going into a family business, or he's going to play poker, or he's going to follow a passion. It's just that his belief system is all set up that you have to go to college and you have to have a business and you have to do or have a job or whatever, even though it's a struggle and it's miserable. And and that's like the prevailing belief. My best friend Rob is that way too. And that, now a little money is coming in from doing one-on-ones with Joshua. And so for the first time, there's income coming in from this. And, so I'm talking to him about that. And he goes, isn't that fantastic that you can have a passion that also brings in money? And talking about his wife was so desperate to find a passion that also brings money. And I said, that's not a rare thing. It's what everyone should have. That's how it should be. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't have to struggle. You should be able to focus on what your passion is and then allow money to come either from that or from somewhere else, whatever. But I think that it should be possible for everyone, and it's the belief that it's not possible that is holding so many people back from finding their passion.
Well, and there's just so many different perspectives too, because if we were talking on that level, Steve and my kids are almost like on different ends of the spectrum. All three of my boys went to college, but now they loved college and they're working in professions. They all have jobs and it's profession, and they're all very passionate about what they're doing. So it was just a different path for them to get there, because I worried about that. I didn't want to push them and, oh, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. But the other day, it kind of hit me. They all found their passion.
Yeah.
And it took them, they moved away. You know, we live in a little bubble here. And so they moved out of the bubble and they were able to come into their own, and they're all very happy. So,
and so did you worry about them as they were growing up?
Yes, very much.
And so now was all that worry completely a waste of time?
Waste of time.
Yeah.
Waste of time.
And what's with our kids wanting to go east? It's just baffling.
I know.
It's nice out here.
Not where
this is the definition of nice.
Yeah, right. We're gonna have 75 cool breeze today.
Here too.
You're a little humid, I think.
Yeah, humid.
Oh, it's nice. Your skin doesn't get dry. Your lips are always moist.
We're on the ocean.
Look at you and me. We're the same age. I look 20 years younger than you.
That's my gray beard.
You know they have that
desert formula. Scraggly desert skin.
Okay, I'm going to look for skincare products now.
But yes, so
many roads.
Yeah, well, there's a whole bunch of different paths to happiness, thousands and thousands and thousands. So it's all good. I think as long as you don't pressure anybody into doing something they don't necessarily want to do.
Or they don't even know what they want to do, because we've been on this, you know, on this path of going to school and working harder than I work. Mm-hmm. My friend's daughter, I mean, she's doing school, I would say 10 hours a day with the homework and everything and all the act, you know, 10 hours a day, probably 6 days a week, and has no time to be a kid. And this is just my opinion on the outside. But, you know, and I think that being in this mode of doing this for I knew her when she was born and saw her whole life, and it's the same issues with having to do homework every night and not going out really being a kid and not really being able to explore life as a kid. And now I can't even imagine how she could know what she wants to do, because she's been in this work mode studying all the time.
Well, some people have, I talk to people and they say their best times of their lives were their college years and how much fun they had.
No, I'm not saying that she's going to college. I'm not saying you shouldn't go to college. I, you know, I'm just saying that you get in this path that society deems as proper, right? And everyone expects you to go to college if your parents went to college and so on and such forth, or even go to school at all.
Well, yeah, high school that's is worse a real than thing. College. Don't you think, Steve, then high school, they put so much pressure on the kids?
Yeah, high school really.
It was terrible.
It's changed from when I went.
Yep, me too.
I didn't remember ever doing homework a day in my life. Not or studying for a test ever. And that never mattered. I mean, my grades were B's probably. Didn't matter what school college I went to. I went to FAU. And the grades I got there were fine. But that never mattered, and I never, not even college, I never studied, never did anything other than write papers. That was the only thing I had to do outside of school.
Well, with the internet now, it's great. Roman's able to find these great courses on 3D modeling that, you know, we pay for it, but it's like you find the cream of the crop out there. It just rises up, right?
Right.
Well, yeah, what are the odds that the best teachers in the world are going to be in your high school or even your college, you know. But now you could do all your high school with the best teachers in the world online, and if you wanted to, and you could do college the same way and be really hyper-focused on what you're passionate about. And if you need to learn what, you know, some other skill to do what you were passionate about, you're going to be able to find it and download it super quickly, because that's how learning works. It's created by a desire, and then the desire opens up the channel to receiving the information. But if you don't have the desire, you can memorize stuff for a while, but you're going to forget it. I mean, how many people, how much, you know, what's the, I remember we probably knew what the main exports of Guatemala were. I'm sure we studied that somewhere in school, but it's completely useless now, because that's surely it's different. You know?
Yep.
Hey, this is a good show because you get to rant, even though. So let's go ahead and read Emma's question. Emma lives in... Okay.
Well, let's do the quote of the week first.
Let's do the quote of the week. Because that ties everything into it. Wendy, would you like to do the quote of the week?
Sure. Your friends, spouse, or children do not have the power to disconnect you from your inner self. They do not have the power to connect you either. It is you who has total control. When you can take responsibility for how you feel, you can allow others who exist in your life to behave in any manner they choose without it affecting you.
That is something to remember, because we sort of think this is a control issue too.
Right.
I want Lily to complain less because I believe that her complaining leads to her, you know, shoulder freezing and, you know, it seems stressful when she's complaining about whatever she's complaining about. But the only reason I want her to stop doing it is because it'll make me feel better. Mm-hmm. When I learn to feel better anyway and allow her to be exactly as she is without trying to control her, then one, it doesn't bother me. And two, she probably will not need to complain so much.
But you won't care either way.
But I won't care either way.
Right. So it doesn't matter. So it's win-win for you.
Yeah, if I can do that.
Yes, that's the challenge.
Yeah,
I can do it for a little bit.
Don't you feel like you want her to feel better?
I want her to feel better. But why do I want her to feel better? Because it'll make me feel better.
So that you can feel better. Yeah.
Bottom line, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. Let her deal with this. She's going through something. She's got to figure it out. You know, Joshua had said right in the beginning that her wanting to feel better, you know, solve these physical issues was one of the reasons that I had this desire for answers, and that's how Joshua came. So Joshua gave a lot of credit for Lily for bringing Joshua into reality. But, you know, Lily has always been someone who wants to change the conditions on the outside world and wants to talk about it, how to do it. The thing is, she's a designer. Mm-hmm. So she's into changing conditions and making them beautiful.
Right.
Yeah.
Seems like a normal thing to do. It really does.
It seems like a human thing to do. Animals don't do it, but humans really want, you know, everything to be better. The environment, the relationships, everything to get better and better and better and better and to improve and improve and improve. And by what we're doing, though, is we're looking at how it's not good right now.
Right.
Yeah. So if you can look how it's good now and then allow it to improve based on your vibration instead of changing things or trying to control things. That's what I thought anyway.
Okay.
So let's go on to the question.
Okay.
Kylie, would you like to read the question for Emma?
I would love to do that, Gary.
You have to do it in an Australian accent.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, goodness.
Are not my thing.
Me neither. I can't do an accent.
Stop trying to control me, Gary. I'll read it how I want. All right. Hi, Joshua. As I was driving over to my parents' house tonight, I was dreading the thought of her asking me if I have done my clothes washing yet, as I haven't, and I feel like she always judges me for being lazy. So sure enough, when I got there, she said, "What have you been up to today, Emma? Did you get your washing done?" I got angry and replied, "Out of all the things you could ask me about my life, why do you ask me if I've done my washing? Stop asking me that every time I see you." Now I am annoyed at myself for getting triggered by her like that. I know by me asking her to stop asking me that, I am demanding that she behaves in a certain way in order for me to feel better. But I know I shouldn't ask outside things to change in order to make me feel better, and I must feel better first myself. So what can I do to stop being so reactive and defensive around my mother and become more of an allower? Thanks, Emma.
That's only her third question. That's pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
She's 26 years old and knows this much already.
Yeah.
Imagine being, you know, it's like Kyla, you know, being young and knowing stuff.
She's younger than me.
Yeah. She had to take a leap of faith to pay for the job, the one-on-one. And I'm like, well, actually, I think Josh was like that. Don't worry about that. You're going to – maybe it was me. But I had this really strong feeling she's going to make it to the cruise. Mm. So that would be pretty cool.
Yeah. She sent me an email.
Emma, if you're listening – She did?
Yeah, asking like if the abundant stuff had, she said she knew that I had fears about the abundant stuff and wondered if it had worked out for me. And I was like, yeah, man, stuff just keeps showing up, you know? And then like, and then it falls away and then something else happens and then that falls away and something else shows up. So,
well, Astrid had to book her cruise because she lives in Norway, So she got her own cabin. So now, Kylie, you have a cabin open, so maybe Emma could be your roommate, cabin mate.
All right, yeah.
Or anyone else who's listening, we'll talk more about the cruise as we go along here today.
I got an unexpected check for $1,000, so there I thought, go. How perfect is that? I can apply this to the cruise.
Have you guys been listening to the Abundance CDs, Abundance Meditations?
Yeah. Yes.
I have, and I won five tournaments in the last 5 days.
Awesome.
So,
wow.
It's just that easy.
Yep.
I wonder what would happen if you and I were both in the same tournament, and I'm listening to the Abundance Meditation also.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I would like to see.
And what if Kyla and I were there too?
We'll probably get to the final table, the last two people, and we'd say, hey, let's chop it up.
And I'd say, go fish.
That's not poker.
I know. I don't know poker.
Totally different game. Much less skill. Okay.
Okay, ready for the answer here. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll use my best Joshua voice.
Use the Joshua accent.
Dear Emma, you have the illusion that your mother has some sort of power to create in your reality. She does not. She is simply a reflection of your thoughts about yourself. You are doing all the creating. You are the one who thinks you are lazy for not doing the washing. All she is doing is reflecting how you feel about yourself. She is not acting like an overbearing mother. You are. You are your own mother. Imagine that.
Mm. Wow. So, just like me with poker, had I not had these bad feelings of poker, my dad would not have been able to, you know, say that I was a gambler. And by Emma worrying about her mother thinking she's being lazy, she's actually herself worrying, thinking that she's lazy. Hmm. And her mother just being the reflection in reality. Okay?
Your mother has absolutely no power to create in your reality. No one does. But they all will reflect back to you how you feel about yourself and the world around you. The reason you get upset is that you know how you feel, yet you do not want to confront it. You prefer to let others do it, as if it's a secret. You could even lie to them, but not to yourself. This is an excellent example, and now you can learn how to deal with situations like these before they happen.
Okay, keep going.
You felt guilty for not doing the wash. You felt lazy. It is all false. It is all based on your own false persona. You think that a good person should not be lazy, but that is simply not true. It does not matter what you do or how you behave. You are good anyway. You cannot possibly act in a way that is good enough to keep their approval coming, so you might as well give that up. No longer will you answer to anyone, not even yourself. You must get the ship headed in the direction of what you want, regardless of how others may judge you. You are the only one who matters.
So, for me, if I didn't do my wash, I would not consider myself lazy. But others could say that to me, but I just personally would never think that of myself. Because it's like, I'll do the wash whenever I do it. I don't care if it's 2 weeks. It's no big deal. So, you know, and this is a super specific thing, but imagine if you were someone who thought you were lazy by not doing your wash, or worried that your mother would think you're lazy, you're really worrying that you think you're lazy. So you put this super amount of pressure on yourself to get all these things done, even though they don't have to be done. You're now trying to sort of control how you feel about yourself by doing things that don't even need to be done. And if you don't do them, then you're going to feel bad and think of yourself as lazy and that you should have done it.
So this is great that it comes up so that she can address it. Otherwise, you
live with
it.
And that she can realize it too. Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Okay.
Of course, you still care about their opinions because their opinions are reflections of your opinions of yourself. So how do you solve this? You begin to accept yourself as you are unconditionally. You are perfect as you are, and you are evolving every day. Therefore, no one can say or think anything bad of you. It doesn't matter how long. It doesn't matter as long as you unconditionally accept yourself as you are, as perfect in this present moment.
Okay, so that's how we all are. We all are perfect in this present moment. How we are right now is perfect. If you think there's something that's wrong with you, well, that's just a limited perspective based on some limiting belief and some fear. The only way you could think that you're not perfect as you are is if you had a fear about some aspect of yourself. But if you can realize that you're perfect now as you are, that everything is perfect as it is, and that things are able to evolve and improve in time based on your desire, then you're not simply resisting what's happening or how you are or whatever's happening at the time. Obviously, that's way easier said than done. But as long as you get this idea in your head that you are perfect, you can maybe start to think a little bit differently about things.
I have an example of this. So I've been talking to Joshua about what I'm supposed to be doing, and I started sort of a podcast. I just like put some stuff out there and I sent it out to a few people and I got some feedback. I didn't hear anything for a few days, and so I just kind of put it out of my head. And then I got my first feedback from Astrid, and she said, she's like, "I'm sorry, I tried to listen, but I could only get through the first 8 minutes. You were just so annoying." And I was in
no
such a good place.
No wonder she doesn't want to share a cabin with you.
I know, right? I was in such a good place that I just laughed. And she was like, I mean, she said it was because I was so excited and, you know, bubbly. And so she had, like, realized some fears that came up. And so I was, like, proud of myself for how I received that feedback. And then I don't know if it was later that day or the next day, Steve. Yeah. Said something about it. There was a part in it that was obnoxious. And so, like, I don't... So I took note that the first two comments that I received were, or like feedback I received were annoying and obnoxious. And I, yeah, in thinking about it again, I didn't like, they didn't really faze me. I don't know. I felt some negative emotion, but I realized like I have a fear that people are going to think that I'm annoying and obnoxious, you know, but I processed it and it's fine. People can think that, you know, especially
that's right.
If it's,
people can think
yeah.
It. You're
and also, yeah.
And only you can deliver it the way you are. And certainly, you don't have to get perfect at this right out of the start. It's going to be an evolution. Yeah.
One of the other ways that I made myself feel better is like, even, I mean, just that better feeling thought idea. Like, so maybe it's not for them. Maybe it's for somebody else. Maybe it's just for fucking me to get over all of this, like caring about what other people think of me. Maybe nobody will ever like it and I'll just like be okay with it. So.
Yeah. I think that people will like it. But how come you didn't send one to me?
Yeah, me too.
I did. I put it in with that question that I wrote to Joshua about it. I sent a link with it.
Oh, that was your talking to yourself.
Yeah, yeah. The other one is, yeah.
I can only get through 8 minutes of that, too.
Yeah. Apparently that's a trend.
Only because the sound wasn't good. If you had done it like a proper podcast,
that's
the subject is going to be great.
That's the other thing. It's like, that's why it's happened the way that it has, because I'm a perfectionist, and the whole reason that I wasn't starting anything was because I didn't feel like I could have perfect sound. You know, I didn't have a microphone. I didn't have all the things. So I wasn't planning to put the shit out there. I was just doing what I always do, which is talk to myself on my phone, and it has terrible sound quality. And so I put it out there and I realized that it's not a reflection on my value anyway. So
that's
I'm learning to like accept
myself.
Well,
I think the subject would be just unbelievably. There's something in me that.
Yeah,
that
I agree. There's more people out there than you know, Kyla.
I got a microphone. Like, I got a nice microphone, so maybe I'll start taking it seriously.
And is there someone else you can do it with?
Yeah, I actually sat down and talked with a kid. There's this kid that I know who's 19, and I stumbled across something on the internet that he'd put out there that he didn't expect anybody he knew to see, so I sat down and talked with him about that. So, I don't know. We'll see.
It might be good to interview people, too.
That's what I did with him, and I've got some other people that I'm going to talk to that
are... Yeah, that's good. I think it could be huge. Okay. But, yeah, so I don't... I don't listen back on anything that I do. I can listen to Joshua. I really like listening to the live Joshua. But I've never listened to one of these round tables ever, because I will just be way too critical of myself and I will think too much about it before I'm doing it. In my head, I sound perfect. There's no lisp. There's no enunciation problems. I'm not speaking too quickly. I sound like fantastic. And that's all that I care about.
Yeah.
But if I listen to it, I'll start picking it apart myself. And I don't want to, you know, my friend Rob on the first one, he called back and he said something that I really don't have too much control over. And I was like, yeah, you know, this is stuff I don't want to hear. Sorry, I don't want to hear. Because if I start thinking about it, I won't be able to say anything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I say, just get it out there and let people gravitate towards it or not. And it seems like people are liking the show. There's 6 million people listening to it. Right. So it must be good. Yeah. You know?
Yep.
So if there's 6 million people out there listening to this show who want to go on a cruise, we're going to have to get another boat.
Right.
Get a bigger boat.
We'll just caravan.
So let's go to the next paragraph.
Do you realize you are perfect?
No.
You are. That is a fact. You are perfect as you are in this moment, and you are evolving, which means that in every subsequent moment, you are improving. But in this moment, you are the highest evolution of you, and that representation is perfect. There's nothing you need to fix ever.
And that's true of everything. You don't need to fix anything, except, I don't know, we did have an electrician come over to fix some electrical problems.
Yeah, and your plumbing, you know, the pipes.
But it was fine the way it was. Until they came over and got better. It evolved. Deborah Jo's funny. She listens to the abundance meditation, and she talks back. And so she'll say, so Joshua will say, or Kyla will say, in this moment, you don't need money. And he's like, who the hell is going to pay the mortgage? That's what she says back to it.
It's funny because I talk back to it too, but it's always like, hi Kyla, thanks for doing this. I hear you. And it says, I am a worthy being. You bet your sweet ass I am.
That's right.
I'm missing out. I never talk back to it, ever.
Do you say the affirmations back to it in your mind?
Yeah, but yeah, it's in my head.
Yeah.
And I'm breathing in a, I guess,
in a zen-like state.
Yes, I'm in a zen-like state with my incense burning and diffuser going. Oh well.
You have what's it called? Where they have chromatic therapy, where the different colors.
Colors, yeah.
I have that in my office now.
And a green room.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mine changes colors, fades in and out. I got it from IKEA. It's really cool.
Huh.
Really.
This show is brought to you by IKEA.
Hey.
IKEA.
Product placement, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next one.
You are not lazy. You are perfect. You are not anything but perfect. You cannot be less than what you are now, and that is perfect. Your vibration is rising, and you are evolving. You are becoming more and more aware. But you are perfect now. Realize this fact before moving on.
Okay.
Your mother and everyone else is perfect also. You would not want your mother to be different than she is because she is a vibrational match to you. You are eternally linked. You think this role of mother and daughter is meaningful, but you are vibrating at a higher level. All children are. You are the higher vibrational being. You are, in fact, the mother, not her. She is the child. You have a perspective that she does not. You have an awareness that she does not. In other lives, you played many different roles, and you are eternally linked. You can never lose her. You will always be a vibrational match.
A couple things here is that the higher vibrational being is the one that comes to Earth the most recently. And therefore, they are the ones who are the wiser ones, who are ready for Earth as it is right now, who are, you know, can deal with how everything is now. And this is these older people who are at a lower vibration because they were born, you know, many years ago. The Earth increases at a higher vibration than people do. And that's why, you know, you'll see people getting nostalgic for the old days because they were more of a vibrational match to the Earth when they were younger. But you can keep up with it, you know. It's just that you have to be ready to move forward. And I think Bashar has also said that too, is that it's really the children are the more evolved ones or the older ones or more like the parents.
I see that with my kids.
Me too. I noticed when I'm talking, and my kids don't even really know about Joshua or anything,
right.
Just bits and pieces. And when I'm talking to him, sometimes I feel like, and in my mind, I have this visual of I'm like this little tiny person, and they're this big person that knows so much. And it's just, it's really like, it's bizarre. It's just bizarre.
I really feel it with my parents now.
Mm.
Yeah, exactly. The opposite. Yeah, I feel the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a dream last night that my dad was trying to ride a skateboard. And of course, you know, he's 70 something years old and falls down. I'm like, what are you doing trying to ride a skateboard? So hurts himself. I go, jeez. Also, there was another thing about this.
Eternally linked.
Yeah. So everyone's eternally linked. We're eternally linked, us group here, with everyone we know. If you know someone, you're eternally linked with them. You can never lose them. A woman wrote to Joshua and said, and Joshua hasn't answered this one yet, but said, when we transition to the non-physical, do we stay married? You know, and which is a funny thing that you would think that, because you know, marriage is really this you know, agreement made in physical reality pretty much out of fear. You know, you want to lock up one person so you're not alone the whole life. you don't want them to go out and do their own thing. I think in a natural world, we wouldn't have such a thing as marriage because we would be, you know, we would have less need for one person. We would, and in non-physical, certainly, you would love everyone equally. But that was interesting that came up.
But it's nice having a partner in crime to kind of forge ahead.
Yeah, and I don't think that you have that in non-physical. Non-physical, you flow in groups, and you don't have one person that you're partners with.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. But no, everything about physical reality, there's a lot of...
But you're eternally linked to everybody, so it's almost like you might as well answer, yeah, you're married, because you're always going to have access to
them. True. So, yeah. It's funny that when I think of questions, if I read them ahead of time, which sometimes I don't, that I'll have a completely one answer in my head, and then Joshua just goes in a completely different direction. Mm-hmm. It's sort of weird that way, because I get questions that I don't really feel comfortable answering because I don't know the answer. It's like I think I need to know the answer.
That would be weird.
It is weird. You know, sitting down to write something, you have no idea, and they're just having it come out.
Yeah.
That's totally giving up control there. Okay, next one.
Okay. So then when she calls you lazy, you feel a negative emotion because you believe her. It's just what you were thinking. You feel fear and you want her to be different so that you can feel better. The fear is irrational because you are not lazy. And even if you were, it does not define you. You are worthy and perfect. So being lazy would be perfect for you as well. You see, you choose everything based on the specific topic you want to explore in this incarnation as Emma.
Yeah, if your mother called you a bad ballerina, would you care?
That's exactly what I was thinking when I read that.
I use that all the time.
I use that example, yeah. It's like, call me a bad ballerina, see if it affects me.
Yeah.
Okay, so this next, I like this next paragraph.
In the future, when you get thoughts like these before seeing your mother, you will pre-pave the situation by stating some affirmations and setting your intentions. On the drive over, you will say the following. I am a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance. I am perfect as I am and evolving every day. I am not lazy or whatever. I simply have different preferences and priorities. I know that my mother is a reflection of my feelings, and I appreciate her for bringing up all those little fears to the surface so that I can identify them and resolve them. For that, I am very grateful. I love my mother, and I know that we are eternally linked. I intend to see her as who she really is and accept her as perfect as I accept myself in this moment as perfect. That is a good one.
Yeah. So now you pre-pave this, and you actually – what you're doing is you're pre-paving your perspective so that you're not dipping into this limited perspective. You're taking the higher perspective from the beginning. Yeah. So that's an interesting thing about pre-paving. It's not that you're wanting things to turn out in a certain way. You're just wanting to be able to look at them in a certain way. And if you can do that, then you won't feel negative emotion. You won't dip down into a lower emotional state of being. You won't disconnect yourself from the powers and energies of the universe. And, I mean, every time we do this, Lily and I pre-pave and set our intentions before doing a lot of different things. And it seems like it's magical because it always works out. And when we don't prepave, when we don't set our intentions, that's when, you know, stuff comes up.
Okay, so, I just got one more and then we'll wrap this up. Prepaving how you want to feel in any given moment is simply the act of choosing the higher perspective prior to the event. Practice this technique and you won't believe how smoothly everything will go. With our love, we are Joshua.
Yeah, that was a good one. Excelente.
They gave me a good pre-paving mantra, too, in my last question, my last answer.
That's right. Yeah, pre-pave. Hey, by the way, if you're not receiving the newsletter, like Wendy's not receiving it, go to the website and sign up. It's free. It comes basically once a week. I try not to do more than one email a week. But I'm trying to put all the podcasts and everything on one newsletter. And so, like, the podcast that you get now, we did last Monday and last week on this one. And then this podcast will come next week, and I think it'll work out. But also on there is the Joshua Cruise. We finally set a date. It's March 26th to April 2nd, 2017. It's on this fantastic ship called the Allure of the Seas. And it's Royal Caribbean. It's, check out this ship. This ship is so cool. It's gigantic. And it actually has a park in the middle of it. So you can have a balcony on the ocean or in this park. And I have a, I chose a balcony on the park because I think there'd be a lot of fun people watching to do from that perspective. And it's going to be great. And so we're going to go to Nassau, and one of Deborah Jo's best friends, Linda, who's going to be on the cruise, lives in Nassau. She lives right across the street from Atlantis, on the Intercoastal. So we're going to go to Nassau. We're going to have a special thing there. We may take her boat out to do fishing or whatever. We'll go to Atlantis and check that out. Atlantis is where I got married. Then we'll go to St. Martin, which is my favorite island in the Caribbean, and St. Thomas, and then back to Fort Lauderdale. So it's about $1,000 a person. We have all the stuff to sign up for and who to call. And if you want a cabin mate, you can call Deborah Jo as well. Or you can always email me, and I will talk to you more about it. We're going to, we have some special things we're going to do. We're going to do morning meditations. We'll do Joshua Live. We'll do it sort of like Abraham does it, I think.
And that'll be the first time for you, right?
Yeah.
First time in live person. In person. Yep. And you guys will be there so people can talk to you, which is going to be fun. And we're just going to have fun. It doesn't cost anything more than what you would normally pay. There's no extra fee for us. We're just going to be this group of people. And we think it's going to be, you know, 20 people probably. So the more the merrier, of course, but it's just going to be, we're just going to be doing our own thing. But together, as this group of like-minded people, I think it's going to be powerful.
What a
this
group.
Is going to be the first one.
Yeah. It's going to be an awesome group.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
And since we're pre-paving, we know it's going to be awesome. Right?
Awesome.
Oh, my God. It's going to be so awesome. Have you guys been on a cruise before?
I haven't.
I love cruises.
Oh, my God. There's no such – it's the best. One thing is you're just in this better state of mind because you're on this beautiful ship with all these people and everyone's having fun and you're going to these fantastic islands and you're in the ocean. The weather's always gorgeous because they take the ship around any bad weather so they can move around bad weather. So it's always sunny and nice and there's tons of stuff to do. Great food. This ship is great food and it's going to be really exciting. So it'll be like my 10th cruise. I really like it.
Not that this is super important to me, but does this include alcohol?
No. You have to buy it.
Well, we can bring two bottles of wine per person.
Oh, you can?
Yep. And then if you we signed up yesterday, so I think we got a shipboard credit. But there's I think there might be packages you can get. But, yeah. I'm not really much of a drinker. Just kidding. I like wine.
Becoming more of a drinker? I don't know if that's because I'm becoming more of an allower.
It's so much easier to allow when you had a glass of wine.
It really is.
That's it.
Yep. All right. Well, guys, this was another wonderful show. Thank you for being a part of it. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We have 5 people doing one-on-one. So I can usually get 1 or 2 answers in a week from other people, but send them in anyway, and I will pick 1 or 2 of them. And tell us what you think about the Joshua Live on Podbeam. Just go to, what's the best way? Go to Podbeam and search Joshua Live. Or,
you can go to iTunes.
Or iTunes.
Yeah.
Or it's just the name of each podcast, .podbean.com.
Bean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like Joshua Live.
.podbean.com or I think it's Teachings of Joshua.
Roundtable. The Teachings of Joshua Roundtable.
The Teachings of Joshua.
Yeah. Yeah, or you could probably go to
Or I post a lot of links on Facebook. I guess I haven't been posting as many lately, but so you can find episodes as they come out usually on facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua.
Yeah, if you subscribe, you get them right away. You don't have to wait for the email to come in. So that's a little bit of a benefit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have 6 million subscribers. Pretty good.
6.5, I think, yeah.
Or you can type in my name. It comes both of them come up. Gary Temple Bodley.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Excellent. Okay, folks, what are you guys doing today?
Football.
Test driving cars.
Oh.
My gentleman friend is coming to see me.
A gentleman. Your
friend? Gentleman friend?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Yeah. That should be fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to win another poker tournament.
Nice.
I think I'm player of the month now.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah. It goes until the 9th, and then the World Series starts on the 10th.
Have you told your dad yet?
Nope. I haven't told anyone except for you guys, because I want your approval. Okay. Well, until next week, have a great week, and we will see you all later on Joshua Live on Monday.
All right.
Have a good week.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
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 Thank you for joining us on the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. Remember, you are loved more than you can imagine, by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next week.